This is episode 76 of Our Modern Heritage, the Home and Family Culture Podcast, and I'm your host, Jody Chafee. Family culture is the collective vision, values, traditions, habits, and norms that create your family identity and mission. All families have a culture, whether by default or by design. The mission of this show is to help you discover and design your family culture more intentionally by offering insights and tools from experts, authors, and influencers who are lending services to families or have been influenced by their own family culture throughout the course of their own success. As I explore the different possibilities of family culture, I'll be posting updates and interacting with you on my site at homeandfamilyculture.com and on Instagram at Family Culture Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. My episode today will be with a feng shui specialist, Laura Staley, and I'm so excited for you to experience this discussion because I learned so much about how we can shape our environment to optimize our family culture to create a thriving environment for our families. So today on the podcast, we have Laura Staley, and Laura is the founder of Cherish Your World, and she helps people thrive in their physical spaces where they live and work. She educates people about the optimal arrangement of belongings for comfort, safety, and flow, decluttering for freedom, and planning transitions to new or updated spaces for optimal joy in life. Laura knows that the conditions of our homes and workplaces shape the quality of our lives. And I'm so excited to talk with you about this because I recently did an episode about, like, you know, because the KonMari is really popular in media and she's, you know, all these different things. And I was like, there are so many other ways to address your space and your things that this is not just the only way. So I'm excited to talk with you. And Laura also published a book called Let Go Courageously and Live with Love, Transform Your Life with Feng Shui and Cherish Your World Gift Book, 100 Tips to Enhance Your Home and Your Life. So wonderful. So grateful to have you on the episode today, Laura.
Oh, thank you so much, Jody, for having me. It's such an opportunity to get to share my passion, my vision, and these ideas to really serve people and uplift them and, you know, have us laugh a little bit too.
We were talking a little bit about, you know, my conceptions about what feng shui is and that, you know, I'd heard a little bit about it growing up. And so it was just like, it's great to be able to talk with you and what you know, so you can educate me and my audience about what feng shui is and why it's so important to, you know, address our spaces and the feelings that it can generate in our homes and our families and just the energy inside of ourselves and how it impacts us. I think that that's really important to our family culture because, you know, like for myself personally, my energy is definitely tied to my environment a lot. You know, there's definitely a lot going on there with me that if my home gets cluttered or it's just doesn't flow very well, then I get really anxious and uptight. And I know that that translates out to the way that I treat my family. And
absolutely. Right.
So I'm excited to talk with you.
Oh yeah. Well, that's a perfect illustration. I mean, most people intuitively know that unless they're just really disconnected, and I don't think there are that many people that are that disconnected. But I mean, my simple definition of feng shui is it's an art and practice of arranging your space to enhance the quality of your life. Another take at it, which I think is really valuable, it's really alignment and transformation of your inner space with your outer space, and it's dynamic. Right? Because our lives are evolving. You and I aren't children any longer. And yet here you are having a passion for the lives of families and moms and dads and children and their interaction. And space absolutely is either supporting you and inspiring you in the quality of your life, or it's not, or you're finding your way to that, what I like to call the sweet spot, or even that messy middle of it's not perfection on the one end and it's not the hoarder house on the other end. right? Where you're in that messy middle, especially as a family, where you have, you know, flow and papers coming in from children and artwork or whatever creative pursuits your children are engaged in, and the parents who want to hold on to things that their children have created, and the children aren't all that attached. They just love the process, for instance, right? And you're exactly right. And I've identified, for instance, three ways people relate to space in terms of organizing. So I've called, it's in my book, but there's the iSpyer, the mind melder, and the hidden treasure seeker.
Those three again, please?
Sure. There's the mind melder. And the mind melder basically needs to clear the desk at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. It's the person who needs to clear the kitchen at the end of the day and have everything put away. But they're also the person that, it's often mom, but not necessarily, but mom, where's my blah, blah, blah? And you're like, it's the third drawer down on the right-hand side. And sure enough, the child opens the drawer and they find exactly what they were looking for, right? That's your mind melder. Mind melders get agitated by the iSpyers sometimes. Well, yeah, usually. So your iSpyer personality, if you will, is the person that actually is inspired by and cued by the things being out in the open. So if they're working on a project, say you've got a child who's working on a Lego creation, for instance, I'll just use that as an example. They really want all the pieces and all the parts of that Lego creation to be out in the space. And yet you could have somebody walk in and go, clutter, I don't want to step on a Lego, right? And yet the child isn't inspired to work on it the next day and the next day and the next day. And is there a way to then flow and find that, you know, that again, that sweet spot of honoring that the child actually is cued visually, the iSpyer, they need to see it, right? Or even, the funny one that I also talk about is your mind melder, the iSpyer will have gotten out a glass and be walking over to the refrigerator to fill the glass with juice or a beverage, right? Because they need the glass, right? And the mind melder will have gone over, washed it, and put it back in the cabinet. Right? And the iSpyer is like walking back going, where's my glass that I just wanted to pour my juice or beverage, right? So that, yeah, it's an interesting dance. And what's helpful to know that about members of your family, and you could, and people could even sit around and ask one another, gosh, what inspires you? Do you like things being out in view? And for instance, kitchens are often a combo pack, right? There, where we literally have things out on the counter visually reminding us, oh, there's a bowl of oranges, so let's eat healthy today. Or there's, a vase of flowers that just really make your heart sing. And the mind melder even enjoys the vase of flowers. So it's not like it's a pure thing. Right?
Yeah.
Because most of us are a combination. And then there are the hidden treasure seekers. Hidden treasure seekers, they actually love the hunt. They love to dig through the glove compartment and find the $20 bill. It's so fun for them, right? They're almost like I don't mean this unkind, but like the dogs who bury the bone and then they go pick up the bone again. Uh-huh. Right? And they find it a joyful experience. So they'll stash a box, they'll put something somewhere, they'll know what's in there, but then they'll have this joyful experience of opening the cabinet, you know, taking down the box and digging through it and going, yes, I knew my blah, blah, blah was in here, right? So those are your hidden treasure seekers. And usually most of us are some combination of the two, but everybody has their threshold or their bandwidth of what they can manage. Kind of like you were saying, you're like, okay, if my space gets, you know, this much more clutter, whoa, I'm agitated and I'm unkind to my family. Well, what is that threshold? And what's that threshold for your child? because they may have a huge bandwidth, like, right? Because they're just creative and they're just like, oh, the stuff, and you know, it's fun. And as long as I have, well, and they may have more of the I Spire in them. Yeah. So the things are inspiring them to interact and be alive and be playful. Whereas to calm down the nervous system, the mind melder needs everything, most things put away at the end of the day, right? To feel peaceful and then to find the flow. Find the flow with, and then ask members of your family. But you're absolutely right. It's an outside, inside, knowing yourself and being able to identify what really supports you about your belongings and the space.
Wow. You're describing those three, and I'm kind of laughing to myself going, we have all three of those in my family. I just know it. And because like my husband and I, especially my husband, he's definitely the mind melder. He'll like go through and put everything away. But I'm a mind melder in that I'm like, I can't stand everything out, you know? But my son, the Lego example is perfect because he's my 8-year-old son, and he will not put them away. He has to have them out all the time, but he'll play with them all day long. But so it's good for me to understand that that's what's going on with him, is that, well, he just, it inspires him. If it's out, it's there, it's inspiring, and it keeps him going with the creative process that he has going on in his head, because he does all day long. He's creating and he's building, and he's really excited about these new things. He's inventing all the time. And so I just, knowing that about him, it's like, well, I just need to like honor that for him and figure out where our boundaries are, like you said. Go ahead.
You can, like in that example, you can make sure that it's in a contained space. Like maybe it's not in a shared space if your home allows for that.
Yeah.
Some homes it's challenging, but if your son has his own bedroom and it's really okay for him to keep those Legos out in a corner of his room, and it doesn't keep him up at night excited. Right. Get out of bed and jump over and play with the Legos. Cause that's the other thing I have found in working with parents and in parenting my own two children who are adults now, is sometimes in bedrooms, especially, that you want to calm down that space at bedtime. And I know creating rituals where you're actually putting things to bed can be really helpful, especially for a young child who might be struggling with sleep. So yes, you can have that I Spire. But if you find that your child is overstimulated, because a lot of children's bedrooms can be way too, like I always ask parents, could you sleep in this room? Right. And not to be unkind, right. But kind of like, whoa, right. I probably couldn't, because it's, there's too many colors, there's too many belongings. And if there isn't a play space outside of the child's bedroom, you know, can those items be restored and there be a fun, playful ritual to put them in treasure boxes, to put them in containers, to do kind of the mind melder, which your husband does, of putting them away at night and singing goodnight to them. I mean, obviously, if you've got a teenager, they're not going to do that. Well, maybe they would. Maybe they get out of the car and, you know, invent a song. I don't know. But you get what I'm saying, and putting all those things to sleep so they know they can interact, that they'll be there for them in the morning, but it helps to calm down the room and the space so that they can get a good night's sleep. And bedrooms, that's often a challenge because they're often multi-purpose spaces for children. They're not just designated, this is your sacred space for sleep. And if there's a complaint that I hear from a lot of parents, oh my God, my kids don't sleep through the night, or maybe the parents are struggling to sleep through the night. Mm-hmm. Well, look at what's going on in the bedroom, in your own bedroom. Is there clutter? Is there the workout equipment and the stack of bills that you walk in and you're like, okay, is it time to work out? Is it time to sleep? Or is it time to pay my bills? Right? And there's confusion, right? And is it possible, if you can't move the workout equipment, it's the only place, can you put a cloth over it? Same way in a child's bedroom. Can you just calm down? Can you get a drape, a cloth, if you don't have the cabinets and such? Or if the child really is that I Spire and just would love to you know, whip off the cloth in the morning and then have at their projects and the things that inspire them. But there can be these simple solutions to those, finding that sweet spot of inspiration, play, and then the flow, right? Because that's a lot about feng shui too. We flow. There's times to sleep, there's times to play, there's times to work, there's time to be focused, there's time to be quiet, there's time to be active and playful. And bedrooms and dining rooms in families can be multi-purpose spaces, but can you change them up pretty quickly to match the intention of what's happening at that moment? So for instance, in a dining room, it may be the place where your kids do their homework, but can you calm it down at mealtime and have a place that your children take their homework and stick it on a shelf and then have it a bonding place for everybody to join and laugh and talk about their day and interact and really enjoy their food and digest that food in calm and peacefulness. And every family gets to find that, again, that sweet spot. You know, some families may just need complete, like, whoa, everything's got to be put away, kind of a more of a mind melder thing to feel calm and connected and look in each other's eyes and smile and laugh and, oh, that's who you are, right? Put away the screens, you know, shut the computers, put them, you know, move them out of the space and just be with one another. You know, we have these languages of love that Gary Chapman talks about. And I think this is so important in a family, you know, touch, talk, you know, words of appreciation, quality time, right? And presence. You know, if there's one thing that, you know, with all the screams and all the distractions we have going on in our lives now, to be able to simplify. And that's actually one of the things that I love about feng shui, is it actually is about simplifying our lives, to get down to the essentials of what's in your heart. What do you value the most about being part of a family? What does it mean to connect to your child and really love them and have them feel your love so they know that they matter, they know that they're appreciated, they know that they have a sense of, oh yeah, that's stepping over a boundary, but I'm not going to get cruelly abused. Right. Right? But I know that there are boundaries here, that there, and I get to respect the relationship and figure out what's going on with me developmentally and help the adult, have the adults in my life have that awareness and understanding so that they can help me become the best person that I can possibly be, and for parents to continue their journey of self-awareness, self-discovery, to become the best, healthiest parents that they can be. And sometimes it's dismantling the past. You know, I hear from people, they come from the hoarder house and they really don't want to be the hoarder house for their kids because they saw the impact. They feel the impact. And they really aren't interested in recreating that. They really want to break free.
Right. So basically what I hear you saying is, like, when there's a time and a place for these things, these patterns, these rhythms in our lives, that the best way to honor those things is to not necessarily have them really overlap very much. So, like, when it's time for sleep, you want to say, okay, it's time to put the toys to bed. Or when it's time to eat and spend that quality time together, okay, it's time to put our homework away and our screens away. And that allows for that quality of interaction or quality of what needs to be done at that time to really emerge and be able to honor that time to get the rest or to get the quality time together. Or whichever, you know, if it's play, if it's work, you know, like if it's work, then it's say, okay, get your work out and this is your time to work. And then it's like, okay, now it's time for meal. So put your work away. And so that allows you that space to really honor what needs to be done in that time. So that, you know, I mean, you hear all these studies about how multitasking doesn't work anyways. Yeah. And so it's really important to like honor that space. And I really do appreciate your tip about putting the toys to bed, because like for my son, he really loathes when we put his things away and he does not want them put away. But the idea of even just putting like a blanket over it and saying, let's just put it to bed so that it's not a distraction. And, you know, a lot of times, a lot of parents do struggle with bedtimes. And so to say, well, yeah, look at your space and see, is it honoring you, the child's need to sleep? Or is it a distraction? Yeah. Again, getting clear on those boundaries of saying, this is playtime and this is bedtime. Let's really define that boundary. So that's really good tips.
Right. Well, and those times of transition can be really difficult because, again, depending on the personality of the child or even the adult, right, you can have a clash where some people are like, oh, time to go. And they're out the door. And then kids are like,
Wait a minute.
Honestly, you know, I'll tell them myself. I had this thought that I had to like have this immaculate, put, you know, everything put away anytime we transitioned out the door, and I was making my kids crazy because I was so full of stress. It's like, oh God, we got to restore order, you know, like, ugh.
Right.
And I kind of softened. Okay. Some of the things can be put away, but do they have to be all put away? And then make this transition time so agitating. So can family, depending on, you know, their own sense of things and their sense of their children, because I totally honor where people are. That's why I listen and ask lots of questions of my clients, is to create some kind of gentle, playful, meaningful rituals for transition. I mean, because it helps. Cues, you know, kind of cues the body. And then it's like, oh, right. You know, we brush teeth, we're going to read a story. And kids really love, especially young children, they love that structure and rhythm. And if it's fairly consistent, it can be so helpful because that it's like structure allows for freedom. So the structure and the ritual of the transition can be so supportive. And yeah, you're constantly interacting with the belongings, right? As you go through those transitions, adults are looking for their car keys, right? Hopefully they've kept them in a place that they can find them. You know, there's the funny story of me, you know, the one... one time, and I know people do this on a regular basis, so it's like stressful, right? Uh-huh. But I had my safety patrol. They had to get off to safety patrol, and we're turning the whole house upside down. And I laughed so hard because the keys were in the door of the garage. But it's like, oh, okay, a place for everything and everything, and it's
right.
Yeah.
But that's so important about the transitions though. Like I know I see it all the time when it's like time to leave the park time, you know, when the kids screaming, throwing a fit or, you know, but you know, we do that little jingle that's like from the Daniel Tiger, like it's almost time to stop. So choose one more thing to do, you know? And so it's like those little things that give them the cues of saying, here's a transition coming up, or we'll, you know, if they're doing something watching, especially with electronics, like, I'm not a fan, but like if you have to, you know, you're using electronics and it's time to stop, like give them warning. Don't just go like jump in on them. Like, it's time to turn it off. And you know, like you see that their show's almost over and say, after this show, it's time to turn it off or something, you know, or, you know, just give them a warning. Or even before they start, say, you guys can pick two shows, you know, and that's it. You know, stuff like that. And like setting a timer so that they can see those things, because it just breaks my heart when my kids throw a fit when I'm like, I know, but I did try to warn you that we were going to turn them off.
Right. And well, and then sometimes the meltdowns, they just happen. And then they centered in ourselves as parents and, you know, gently, you know, gather your children up and take them to a place of safety. And oh my gosh, I love the timer. Why I love the timer is it's not personal, because then it's not you in a struggle with your child. It's really about the timer. So bing, the timer goes off. And even adults are supported by that. Like I often, people have clutter, right? Adults, children, that whole thing. And if they really have belongings that they don't need, or love, or that serve them any longer, I encourage 10 minutes a day, open that drawer and put on a timer. because that can be so supportive for both adults and children. And then everybody can join in the fun, kind of like, can you find five things in your room that you don't play with any longer? And maybe there was this natural disaster that we've had so many, right?
Yeah.
If you've got older children who have an awareness of that, it's a moment of compassion, right? Where they can go, oh yeah, I don't play with this. And you know, this family's just lost everything. Right. Or, and so that they can be in that flow of letting things go that they no longer need, use, or love. And then as adults to model that. But I love the timer. I love the timer for transitions. I love the timer for clearing clutter. I mean, timers just, they help.
Since you brought up decluttering, I feel like that's a really strong, emotional stressor in a lot of ways, you know, and, but it's something that I just think, so this needs to happen, right? People really do need to go through and declutter periodically, maybe yes. even regularly. So what are some more of your tips or ideas about how to go through your things to evaluate, you know, what you don't, doesn't serve you and what you can get rid of?
That's such a great question. Well, first of all, know that I come with a lot of compassion. So I know it's emotional, first of all. And it isn't as simple as, you know, joyful, you know, it's not bifurcated. A lot of times there's this messy place of ambivalence about things. Mm-hmm. Well, I might need it someday. Well, then that's about trust. Can you trust that very thing that you're going to let go would flow back in your life, or you could borrow it from a neighbor, right? Or it would flow into your life, or you could go to the store 10 years from now with the resources to purchase it. So a lot of decluttering is ultimately about trust the flow of life. I think it's really important to honor children. And I know when they're super young, obviously keep the space safe. Actually, safety for adults is really important. But honor their process. So I have the example of my own son where, you know, I call it donate keep. And as they were approaching a birthday, I would just gently say, hey, you know, let's schedule a time for donate keep. And they knew what that meant. Mm-hmm. That they got to open drawers and, you know, look at things and say, what are you going to let go that you just don't play with anymore? And what do you want to keep? And they got to choose. And I so remember sitting with my son, who was about 4 years old. And I, as a parent, saw this object that I thought, oh my gosh, he hasn't played that with that in a year. Like if it were me, I'd grab that thing and have it in the bag. in a minute. And he didn't choose it. Mm-hmm. And I just allowed him his own process. And what was so fascinating, Jody, is probably about 2 weeks later, because I gave him the full permission to choose, and he chose some things. He was like, oh yeah, I don't play with this, mommy, and I don't play with this. But about 2 weeks later, that very item that I had identified that he didn't play with, he got it himself. But he had to go through his own internal process.
Right.
Get it. And he toddled down the hall and he's like, here, mommy, you can put this in the donate bag.
Wow.
And then he also had something that he let go of. And a year later on his birthday, he got the exact same toy.
Oh,
and
wow.
He played with it like it was like brand new, like he had never had one before. So it was great. Right.
Wow.
And I really believe that is real and true. And mostly adults must model this for our children. We must get clear our own relationship with belongings. And as we model that and say, you know, gosh, there's been this hard thing and mommy doesn't wear, you know, as they're gathered around you, you know, mommy doesn't wear this anymore. And I'm going to donate it to women who don't have men. Much clothing or whatever. I'm going to give it to a friend who really has loved the sweater and I never wear it. Or you've got that brand new item that's got the price tags on it and you've just never worn it. Right. I discovered one of those. I'm like, you know, I've been practicing all this time. Like, you know, it's an ongoing journey for me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, to model it ourselves and really ask those deep questions. Do I love it? Do I need it? What's the story behind this? If you're ambivalent, can you revisit it in 6 months and get clear? Because some items are associated with a loved one who passed. Mm-hmm. I hear that a lot, right? And they feel like, oh God, Uncle Zach, you know, died. And he said, you know, for me to keep this desk, but the desk is buried. It's in the garage. It's buried under more clutter. And they're not honoring that relationship by using the desk because they actually don't want the desk. Can it go to a family member? Can you grieve? See, a lot of times with belongings, you just have to do the internal work to grieve, to do the final process. Maybe the person's passed and you've been doing that grieving, but now there are these belongings that are connected to that person. Can you engage that process? And it's a powerful and meaningful process, but that's where a guide like myself can sit with you and allow you to tell the whole story, do the show and tell. I mean, it's amazing how often adults are literally needing the show and tell. They want to know that somebody else will appreciate the meaning of this belonging. And the beautiful transformations that take place when people let go, it's really astonishing. There was a woman who wasn't going to have a child, and she had the whole room set up for the new baby. And she and her son found a woman who was pregnant, who they were able to take the things to, and it was tearful and meaningful and all the gratitude. But she, for her healing process, and then they transformed that room into an office for her husband, mm-hmm. right? And it's just stories like that that are meaningful and emotional and just really profound and powerful. So know that it's a deeper process. And you must be able for, I mean, some things you're like, oh my God, why was I keeping this? And you laugh. You know, and some things we just get to lighten up and laugh about, but the other things, you know, it's like laughing and crying. And when I've worked with people, it's very much that process and holding space and compassion for ourselves, for all of it, everything in between, and the things that you're ambivalent about, hold on to them. I would never dishonor a person by saying you must let go of something that they're not ready to let go of. And don't dishonor your kids by forcing them to let go of something that, in your opinion, they don't play with anymore. It's a child's process. Honor them, because down the road, they'll remember that you honored their choice. Because you wouldn't want anybody, right, stepping into your house and ripping things out of your hands, right? Yeah. Saying you don't need this anymore. Well, who is anyone else to say that about your belonging? Because maybe it came from your great-grandpa and you love your great-grandpa. And you're going to, you know, it's the woman with the hanky. To you and I, it might be a piece of white cloth. But to her, it was her dad that passed. Mm. It was his hanky. She'll keep that white cloth for a lifetime, right?
Yeah.
And she's allowed to.
Absolutely.
Right? You know, so whether it's a piece of jewelry a seashell, whatever that item is, if it means something, you get to hold on to it. But if it doesn't, clear it away. And even more important, what are the life experiences that you want to have? What is your soul and heart yearning for? That in the clearing of the breathing room space of those belongings being out and off your property, what will you do with your kids? Where will you go? What experiences of touch, time, words of appreciation, laughter, right? These are those intangibles that, you know, because when I have a whole blog on this, but, you know, when people pass, they don't, you know, there's not the U-Haul. People rarely stand up and say, oh, you know, they had a house full of stuff and it was really cool stuff. No, they're talking about, oh, we laughed and the person sang songs to me and they held me. And, you know, the memories of what really got created in that time together is what lingers. And we actually now know, and I love this, I love when science, you know, meets ancient wisdom, right? Uh-huh. Of backing that up, of saying the happiness that endures is not with the stuff. But it's kind of like, you know, so what really fulfills your heart? And it often isn't another shopping experience. It might be, but that's brief and fleeting.
Yeah, it's temporary.
What's meaningful, especially with a family and with children, is the interaction. They're going to remember the joke she told, or the dumb joke she told, or the experience, that the rituals that you did, right? The funny times that you had together. They're not going to remember what you gave them two Christmases ago, unless it was like super like, whoa. Like, I remember the roller skates that I got. And I remember the books that I got, but everything else, I sort of don't, you know. Yeah. What endures over time in our memories is experiences.
Yeah.
So for people to keep that in mind and in balance, and I'm not saying, oh, become a minimalist or anything like that. You've got to ask these questions of yourself, as parents and as you interact with children in your family life.
Yeah.
What do you really value? What you like, and then have your actions demonstrate that you value your kids, that you value that experience of being with them, undistracted, fully present, fully with your heart, available to listen, to hear the good, the bad, the hard, the tears, to hold them on your lap, the hug. Yeah. Sorry, I get moved by this, but you know, I was so blessed to be with my kids, and they're adults now. And it's like, wow, that went so fast. And to savor those moments, because we do have a rich body of stories, mm-hmm. of experiences that we had together, and now we're creating them as adults. Know that you're in for the long haul. Like, it's about that adult children relationship. I'm still a mom, and I get to have those deep, meaningful connections with my adult children because of the time and experiences and the seed planting and the listening and the presence as best I could. And gosh, I made tons of mistakes. So it wasn't about that. It was like as much as I could, you know, to have it be less about the stuff. And my son loved Legos. My daughter loved Polly Pockets, right? And all the, right? I remember what my kids loved. Yeah. But, oh my gosh, when I sat down and did quality time, we did special time switch off. That was so meaningful. I know they remember that to this day. So they got to be with their dad and do something that they said. It wasn't screen time. We always put limits. And then now special time looks like, you know, on the phone, FaceTime.
We're taking special time just with them one-on-one.
Yeah, one-on-one. Yeah. And it's especially great when a baby comes into the mix, right? So they don't feel like, oh my gosh, they do have to share mom and dad, right? Or mom and mom, or dad and dad. I don't have... whoever the parents, caregivers, it could be a blended family. There's all different kinds of expression of family. And that time with a child is that one-on-one, even if it's 10 minutes and you schedule it on the calendar and they look forward to it, and that you so super honor it as adult, like Sunday at 3:00. And then they're like, when is special time, mom and or dad or, you know, grandma? And then you can go, here it is, you know, here's our special time. And it's not yet Sunday, but when it's Sunday, we'll have our special time. And they just like so look forward to it because they know for sure during that 10 minutes, you're going to be fully available to them. And to see your child through fresh eyes, because they change so much as they grow, right? That you can just savor those moments before they're just out of the house. It's for me now.
Yeah, right. It goes fast. And I mean, my kids are still little, but I'm grateful to be learning this stuff so that, you know, now, because, you know, it's just wonderful to hear your experience and, you know, that opportunity as younger parents that we still have to, you know, be with our kids and know that when they are older, if we're doing these things, we treasure these moments, that it continues, that we don't have to, you know, it's not the end. That's right.
And it may be that you're doing puzzles as adults, that there's still belongings that are part of your interaction, mm-hmm. but maybe not. Maybe you just all want to go travel or take a walk in the park and tell funny stories and laugh, right? Or, I mean, just like thousands of expressions. But yeah, it's kind of like that seed planting for the kind of relationship you actually want to have as adults. And some of us have to break cycles and break patterns from our past, right? With the things and with our emotional world. And that's really profound and powerful work. And some people need support. I know I did.
So you brought that up before too, this idea of our like baggage and things that we bring in to our families, and you know how it's like one family might have grown up with a group clutter and, you know, messy house, and then they grow up and think, well, I don't want to mess. I want to. And so they end up like wanting to purge everything all the time, but then that creates new baggage for their children. Or parents who are kids that grew up with their parents who were opposite of hoarder, you know, like wanted everything to be immaculate, right. And then they weren't allowed to touch anything or be free, you know? So it's just like, I can see that. So what are some of the ways that, you know, we can address our person, you know, it's so important as parents, because you said also that we need to model for our children, you know, the types of behaviors that will honor what we need and what they need and things. So how do we do that? What are some more tips or ideas?
Right. Well, for sure, in doing your own work, we're super clear what the needs are emotionally, socially, for a child as they're developing. So a 3-year-old can't do what an 8-year-old can do. And mm-hmm. Can't do what a 3-year-old can do. And then, because sometimes that, and then identify those places and spaces in your own journey that were hurtful and painful so that you can regain a sense of whatever you think was lost. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't have freedom to create, can you create that for yourself with your kids? And parent them from that greater wholeness. So in other words, whatever was taken, whether it was, you know, abandonment or these I just read are like the universal human fears, abandonment, separation, who hasn't experienced something like that? Low worth, unworthiness, a feeling that you didn't matter, or lack of trust. So betrayal, right? And these all show up in space. No, I know in my own case, for instance, I had toys ripped from my hands and I still don't know why, right? And thrown in the trash. And, you know, so in that moment, right, with my son, where he's opening his drawer, I had to pause, right? Yeah. And not just grab one of those toys and throw it in the donation bag, because I knew how, as a child, how painful that was for me. So to be aware, pay attention, maybe get support if you know you're on the extremes. Like if you know you came from this pristine household that was really, really tough and you want to find your messy middle, because I think it's all about coming into the messy middle, or you know that you kind of lived in this really crazy order sort of environment and you notice that you want to go way over to the other extreme, that you find you get that sweet spot in the middle ground. So education is really important, and then coming to terms with your relationship with your things. So if you're still holding on and you got 5 storage lockers, I know I'm exaggerating, but it's time as a grown up to open up those storage lockers and let her go, mm-hmm. let her go. And sometimes it's just grieving the past, grieving out those hurts and the loss, maybe getting support if you need that. I don't think there's always something more to learn about ourselves, so that as we become whole and see that we're worthy, that we don't have to recreate abandonment from ourselves mm-hmm. or from our faith, if we have faith, and then we won't recreate those patterns with our kids, with the things, and with our emotional world. We can just really come to terms with bringing back a sense of trust of ourselves, right?
Yeah.
In those healthy relationships with other moms and dads, because everybody's trying to figure it out. It's the hardest. It is the hardest job I've ever done, and it's the most meaningful work that I've ever done in my life. I mean, I love Cherish Your World and I love writing, but getting to parent my kids from a really healthy place, or as healthy as I could possibly be, still means the world to me. And I continue to evolve and develop my skills in communication and listening. So listening is super important. You know, what brings you peace? So if you, as a parent, if you've got a messy bedroom and you're agitated all the time, what can you do today to soften yourself into that heart space? Is there one thing that you can take out of your bedroom that has been annoying the crap out of you, right? <Yeah. laughs> And just let it go.
Yeah.
So that you can start to feel peaceful today. Get that night's sleep that every parent deserves. Parents deserve a good night's sleep, let alone children, right? So those are just kind of some ideas, I'm sure. Yeah. But I hope you got a sense that it really is kind of like this inner work, heart work, and it's the outer work of, you know, our relationship to others. You know, are you connected? Are you isolated? I know I raised my kids at a time when, you know, parents all went out to work. It was like, oh, you know, three weeks and I'm, you know, I'm exaggerating, but right. And then I just was one of those people. I'm the rebel, renegade, whatever. But I knew I wanted to be a full-time mom. And like I said, it was the hardest work I could ever do. It was emotional. I made lots of mistakes. I needed to break patterns, huge patterns that were really toxic. And so it was just meaningful work. So I have compassion for for children and for families, just because of what I've lived, what I broke through. So I felt isolated and I had to work at getting myself connected to other parents, because I know dads are staying home, that we now are, things are changing rapidly. And it's no longer this, well, okay, there's still places to go with that. But at any rate, don't, you know, to isolate yourself isn't good.
Yeah.
Community, be, you know, reach out for that support and the kindness. And then even have parties where you're letting things go, you know, like come over to my house and I'm going to purge my kitchen of all the... you know, thousands of people, pieces of Tupperware that I don't use anymore, you know, and make it fun and a potluck, and, you know, and then the kids can be part of it and they're opening the cabinets and going, Mom, do you need this? And you're like, no, I don't even know what that is. Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can do in community and not have the shame or embarrassment around, because everybody's got stuff. But back to the butter.
Well, everybody has
emotional baggage, and then you have tough baggage, and man, when you start that process of the courage, and it's courage, it's a walk of courage. That's why I titled the book Let Go Courageously, because I know it takes courage to engage this work in a mindful and meaningful way.
I love that. Yeah. It's so, I mean, cause we all have like our baggage. We all have, well, and I think that, like you said, to pay attention, because I think a lot of times we get triggered by things that are like, wait, I'm not really necessarily being triggered by my child or this stuff that they're doing or whatever. It's from whatever is my baggage that's going on. And so to be aware that, to bring yourself back to, okay, I'm not going to let this out on my child when it's inside of me. It's my own baggage that's really triggering this.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Well, and honestly, that's the work that I got to do. I mean, I literally had to interrupt my own patterns and give myself timeouts and scream and yell into the pillow so that I wasn't hurting my kids.
Yeah, it's like parenting ourselves in a way.
Yeah, it is. It very much is. Now, I chose the path of having support, because I personally knew I needed that. And some people can do it, you know, with books, or I chose everything because I intuitively knew, even before I became a mom, that I had that deeper work to do. And they would be crying at the door, you know, but I closed the door. I just said, Mommy has to take a time out. Yeah. And I went in and, because I was done terrifying my kids.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yep. I was not
committed to that. I just like, oh no, they're tiny beings. They get to feel safe in the world and inside their bodies. And terrified of their own mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So one other thing I wanted to ask you about that I'm curious is you mentioned that feng shui is all about flow and the way that, you know, things that just come and go. And it kind of reminded me of like, the way that people talk about like the secret or like things like that with the way that, the things that we put out into the world come back to us or things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious about how feng shui honors that and what it looks like in feng shui.
Well, I guess the piece of feng shui is the letting go, what you no longer need, use or love. And opening yourself to your deepest desires. Because, okay, you might have a desire for a motorcycle, but your deeper desire may be for freedom.
Mm. Right?
And who doesn't want to live with peace, grace, and dignity in their soul, in their being, right? To be a good person is a desire. And so is living on a house on a beach, right?
Yeah.
And both of those can start to blend together in the world of feng shui, because it really is about the inner world aligning with the outer world and evolving to your best and highest self. What's the highest and best expression of who you are, like your true self? I mean, we have all kinds of folks talking about this now. You know, I love listening to Oprah. I just get the chills when she speaks, right? Because it's from her soul. She wants people to live fulfilling lives. And it's not necessarily about the stuff. It's about your purpose, your vision, why you're on the planet. Like, honestly, why are you here? And then to have the things or your space or your home, whether it's a mobile home or an apartment in New York City or that big house on the mountainside, wherever you might living, or on a boat, maybe you're on a houseboat. You know, they're just like so many choices. I know families who have gotten in an RV for an entire year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They homeschooled their kids and they did all the national parks, right? So, you know, what is that highest and deepest expression of who you are in the world, and then relate to your belongings as a source of inspiration. So if you want to go to Italy, right, have the picture of Italy on the wall. And you know what? If you never get to Italy, you're enjoying that beautiful print every time you walk by it and see it on the wall. Now, it'll probably cue you, right? I get to call the travel agent, or I get to save some money because I actually want to go there, mm-hmm. right? So you can use feng shui to affirm your future. So I'm thinking of the person that I worked with who saw that when he cleared out his home office, he could have a bedroom for his granddaughter to come spend the night with grandma and grandpa. You know, so that was a feng shui affirmation of a vision and a possibility that he might not have seen if he hadn't cleared away and realized that life experiences are meaningful to him. And that quality time with his granddaughter, it means the world. So getting to clear out, oh my gosh, you know, he didn't need any of those things in that office, right? Mm-hmm. So he saw that possibility, and it's enriched his life. And to have him show me those pictures of his granddaughter's bedroom and the joy. It's about transformation, Jody.
Yeah.
The lives, the quality of people's lives shift because they've gotten clear what really matters in their hearts.
Wow.
That's why I do what I do. And I hear the stories every day. I cleared this away, and then this amazing experience flowed right into my life that I really, really wanted to have happen. But you gotta let go. You just have to let go of the past, let go of the attachment, let go of the clinging, because we're a clingy culture, you know, we'll hold on to things like our life depends on it, and it's killing us in a way, right? The hoarders are literally getting sick. Mm-hmm. Right? They're physically ill because they've you know, surrounded themselves with belongings that have made them ill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so can we free ourselves for our highest and best and use our relationship with the belongings as a source of inspiration and transformation. So it's a place to start. Sometimes people don't think about it. They think, oh, transformation is I meditate and I send out to the universe, I want the motorcycle, right? But then their house is stuffed with things that they don't love or take care of.
Right.
And so feng shui invites you to go, okay, if you haven't taken care of the things, how is a motorcycle then just, I mean, it might, and yay, you, right? But sometimes that blocks the flow, or if something's hurting your heart or you're deflecting love, how is love going to flow into your life if you've been deflecting love as a pattern, right? Mm-hmm. From people, oh, you know, I want an intimate partner. I want a love relationship. And then their home is surrounded with images of single people. Mm. Right. And that's great if you want to stay single, but why not shift it up and have an image of a couple?
Right.
The image and the feelings that evokes for you of being in love. And I know in my own journey, I did that, you know, like I took down the print, the beautiful photograph of a woman's back and she was in a yoga meditative posture. It was gorgeous. And I was like, oh yeah, that's not who I am anymore.
Wow. Uh-huh.
It was a great transition piece, but I actually knew I was worthy of a love relationship. So I created a beautiful collage and that evoked those feelings inside of me of gratitude, of deep love, of appreciation. And I didn't know, I let go, but then I met a really great guy. Right. And then I hear the stories from clients. So it's like, I'm walking the talk and then I hear it from others, of the transformation that takes place when they let go of the things in the space that are grounding the past. Mm. And they affirm the future that they actually want to have.
Uh-huh.
And then why not have a great feeling about that future, even if it doesn't come fast? But a lot of times it does.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Many times it does.
Uh-huh. Laura, I love this so much. This is.
Oh my God, I know.
Like, I'm like, I want to go through my whole house and be like, okay, this isn't. Nope, this is from the past. Let's get stuff from the future. We want really, exactly. And that makes so much sense. Like, it makes sense to just be like, why am I holding to stuff that doesn't? Because when I say let go of things that don't serve you, I'm like, okay, but what does that really mean? You know, and so, but this definition, like understanding, like this is something that's grounding me to the past. No, I want it to be something that's helping me and propelling me into a future that is inspiring and
right,
dreamy.
Right.
You know,
exactly. Well, and the more things that you create, because I have a lot of people that, you know, maybe they don't have the resources to run out to the store and buy things, but I'm like, okay, create it. Those are the most affirming because, for instance, I just gathered the magazines and made and ripped out the pictures and pasted them on the collage. I know a lot of people talk about vision boards. Well, what I like to say is your whole house is a vision
board.
If you're familiar with vision boards, right? But start to relate, you know, like that fresh perspective of walking through every space of your house and say, what is this affirming about my future? And you can treasure your past. It's not like you have to let go of the hanky, right?
As
that example. But can you let go of these maybe things from your own childhood that you why is this? Right? And then affirm through something that you create with your own hands. Maybe it's a song that you sing to yourself. It doesn't even have to be a thing. And then you can come to yourself, Laura's going to the Bahamas. Jody's going on a cool trip.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah, we are.
Right. I think that makes it so much easier to let go. because it's like, I'm not letting, you know, to say I'm letting go of the past, but to say now I'm replacing it with what I want to going forward, you know, because I think a lot of times we focus so much on the letting go part that it's like we have that fear and that anxiety and the lack of trust.
Right.
But if we're looking at it as what am I bringing in? Because that's my message too. Like, I want to talk about like what I started this because I'm like, I want to help families just talking about how to be more intentional, how to be more deliberate, you know, creating the things that really do serve your family. And it never occurred to me like this is about letting go of the past and the things that aren't serving you anymore, you know? And I mean, it is part of what I talk about, but you just, the way you described it with our environment, that's so, it just makes so much sense.
Well, and I often ask people when I do that discovery, I'll say, what's different? I can even ask your listeners right now, like, what's different a year from now in your space and in your life? What do you want to be different? Not better, worse, different, like completely different, maybe unrecognizable, because that's what's possible. What does your family look like a year from now? How are you interacting? What fun are you having? Where are you going? What are you doing? How are you spending your time? Who are you being? Are you being a funny, loving, carefree mom?
That's just present. Being present. You know, I think just...
And vulnerable. I mean, this is why I love Brené Brown, because it's like, it's about vulnerability and wholeheartedness. And there are hard things that people are going through.
Yeah.
Can you grieve and model that for your kids too? I mean, they're just in any given day, be looking for the bright spots, but also know that there's hard things too. And can we process through that, those emotions? Because emotions are energy in motion. Yeah. And hold that vision. It's okay to have a vision for the house on the beach and to be a really good person. You can do both. Why not? Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. And I love, you know, your stand for families, because it's like, how beautiful. I mean, I know when I walk around and see families that are interacting with loving kindness, I literally go up to them and just like thank them. Mm. Right? Because it's just affirm that.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, maybe privately they have their moments, but even in those moments,
everybody does.
You know, hold space for your child and, you know, sit with them while they're sorting themselves out and they probably need food or a nap. I mean, my son was often that way, right? Or my daughters, he'd fall apart and I'd be like, oh, when was the last time you ate? Oh, oops.
That happened to me just today. I think you're hungry.
Too, because I'm like a little crunchy.
Maybe I'm hungry. Yes. Yes, so true. And that could be a whole other,
topic.
Keep going. We could keep going. Oh, Laura, this has been so wonderful. I think I could just keep talking to you for, but this is just, you know, it's really brought to my attention the importance of this. This is so important. I'm so grateful to be able to share this and share your message, because this is like wanting to create.
Yeah.
Just create what serves your family, creating your future, and, you know, not allowing your past to keep holding you back. And that's just that message right there. If that's all people get out of this, then, I mean, there were so many other awesome, amazing tips and ideas. Everything that you shared was awesome. But like that idea to just move forward.
And do that inner work.
Yes.
Heal those places. Because then it's like, oh, you just don't sweat the small stuff. When you get really clear of what your vision is, why you're here, what you really value, and how you really generally want to parent.
Yeah.
Essence of the message that you want to leave your child with that endures for a lifetime.
Yeah.
That they're loved, that they matter, that you're here for them, that you're present. And they're just, and it's simple, and yet, you know, we can complicate it in a second, right?
Yeah. By our own, you know, it's our own, it's again, it comes back to like, what is our own baggage? And so that's why it's like, yeah, to do that inner work to create, you know, in these moments, What do we want? What am I creating?
Yeah.
So Laura, where can we find you?
Oh my goodness. Right. So I have two websites actually. So cherishyourworld.com and also loveyourspaceloveyourlife.com. Cherish Your World is more of the feng shui. The Love Your Space, Love Your Life is more focused on the decluttering. My email is laura@cherishyourworld.com. I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook, and people are welcome to connect with me on social media. I'm no longer on Twitter, but I did just open an Instagram, but like you said earlier, the two books. The one book is on Amazon. The other one they can get through my website and just come through my website.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Laura. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you
so much for listening. I really enjoyed listening to Laura and talking with her about this topic. And I'm just excited to apply this in my family, in my life, and all the exciting ways that we can understand each other better, because I definitely have kids who like to leave things out and family members like to put everything away. And sometimes we butt heads. And so it's good to know that and understand why that happens. And I'm excited to be able to, you know, fill our space with things that foster our dreams and our visions for the future. So I challenge you to go home and give those things a try too. Again, thank you so much for listening. Please go onto iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a rating and a review. And come and follow me on Instagram @FamilyCulturePodcast. That's where I will post most frequently. And give me some feedback. Give me some insights. Give me some ideas about what you learned from this episode. I'd love to hear from you. So go please and share and like it on Facebook, whatever. I really just appreciate you listening and hope that this is something that is uplifting your life as much as it's uplifting mine and my family culture. So thank you. And again, remember that Mother Teresa says, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family.